that we have called Fresh Air. We have been in this series for the month of January, and it's been a great word to just sort of launch our new year and to prepare our minds for what God is going to do the remaining 11 months of 2018. And the whole idea is that we do not want to live stuck. We don't want to live stuck. We don't want to get in a place where we are in a rut and we are not advancing. We're not moving. We're not growing, either in our relationships, our marital relationships, our family relationships, or even in the friend and colleague relationships of our lives. It's too easy to get stuck, and so we really believe that the rest of our lives can be the best of our lives, and realizing that God has a plan for me. But here's what we've learned. We learned that it is our choice. We learn that it is our decision what kind of life we are going to have. And I'm hoping if you've been here all month, that maybe we've converted you to believe and understand that it's not your circumstances that will determine whether or not you are happy. It's you that will determine whether or not you are happy. And we've talked about things like our attitude. What's our attitude about the things that are happening to us, and how can we have a Christ-like attitude? Here's what it said in Deuteronomy 30, verse number 19. We've used this particular text throughout the series, and it says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life." Every single person, regardless of your race, regardless of your age, regardless of what side of the tracks you came from to church today, it doesn't matter who you are, every single one of us have the same choice in front of us. Life or death, blessings or curses. And he says, "I want you to choose life." What I want you to do, I want you to choose life for the remainder of 2018. I want you to choose life for the remainder of January. I want you to choose life on the first day of February. I want you to choose life every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every single day of your life, to choose life. And I promise you, your life is going to turn out better than you ever imagined it could be. When you choose life. So today I want to talk to you about the source of fresh air, because we've talked about some very practical things. We've talked about our ability to choose and the choices that we make, and we've talked about our attitudes and how they affect and how they play into how our life sort of turns out. But I want to talk to you about the source of fresh air. And in reality, this is the most important message of the entire series, because you have to grab this, you have to get this, and understand that if I'm going to do anything great, if I'm going to accomplish anything, if I'm going to achieve anything, if I'm going to succeed in anything, I have to know what the source of this fresh air is. And the source of that fresh air is the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit in your life. I may challenge your thinking today. I want to talk to you about this subject. The Holy Spirit, sometimes in your Bible, it's read as ghost, the Holy Ghost. Some of that sounds really spooky and weird, and maybe that's always been taboo. Maybe you've skipped over those books of the Bible that talk about the Holy Spirit, but really it is impossible to get away from it, because the word spirit or ghost is mentioned some 800 times in the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. The Bible wasn't written in English, contrary to many people's opinion. In fact, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and The New Testament was written in Greek, and you'll find this same word in Old Testament and New Testament, this same meaning. You'll find it all throughout the Bible, some 800 times. And so I want to show you a little bit of that today. I want you to see how that God moved in the Old Testament by His Spirit, how God moves in the New Testament by His Spirit. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, there is this word called ruach. Ruach. I don't speak Hebrew. That's the only word I can claim to know. But you kind of have to get this guttural sound going a little bit in your throat. Ruach. Would you just practice that a moment? Say ruach. Oh, yeah, some of you are doing that really good. Ruach. If anything came out of your mouth when you said that, bless your neighbor with that. Ruach. What does ruach mean? It's right here on the screen. It means a wind. It means breath. It means a violent exaltation, a blast of breath. Again, we're talking about fresh air. And this word, spirit, is translated. This Hebrew word is ruach, which means a wind. It doesn't mean spirit. It doesn't mean ghost. It's not something that's ominous or scary, but it means a wind. So look at the first time this is ever mentioned. It's Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the spirit, or the wind, the ruach of God, was hovering over the waters. There is God's spirit hovering over the waters. He created the worlds by His breath and by His words. That is the power of God's spirit. That is the power of His wind and the breath that forms the words that He is speaking. And then when you get to the New Testament or the Greek, the word is pneuma, pneuma. The P is silent. The word is pneuma. It means a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. Again, we read the word spirit. We read the word ghost, but it's not Casper the Friendly running around. It's not some scary thing that I feel like I need to shy away from. It is the pneuma of God. It is a current of air. It is a blast of breath. It is a strong breeze. And it's important that we understand. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus is speaking. He says, "The wind or the air gives life." You're seeing it on your screen. He says, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken, or the Bible that you are reading from today, they are spirit and they are life. But my spirit, my wind, my air, it gives life. That's what all of us are looking for today. He said, I want you to choose life. I want you to make this choice to live your life in abundance and to live your life in overcoming victory. But how do I do that? I need the Spirit of the Lord in my life. I need His presence working, that blast of breath, that strong current of air. I need that working in my life. But when I say that, you may be saying, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I don't even know exactly what you are talking about. And how do we describe this? How do we tell you what the wind or what the spirit is all about? Because the reality is, many of us, we have no idea how big God is or how powerful the Holy Spirit can be. Maybe there has been misunderstanding. Maybe there has been some negativity spoken about the Spirit of the Lord, and you've heard that, or you've thought, well, you know, that just makes it easier for me to shy away from that in my life. But can I tell you that the Holy Spirit at work in your life is the absolute best thing that could ever happen to you? Can I tell you that God's spirit, God's wind, God's air breathing into your life is the absolute best thing that could ever happen to you? I mean, how do you describe wind to someone who's never been outside? It's pretty hard to do. People have to experience it in order to understand it. I can tell you how great it is. I can tell you how fantastic it is. But until you have an experience with it in your life, you're not really going to know just how incredible it is. So let me tell you and do my best to describe what the wind is like. First of all, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I think you'll want to study this and grab this throughout this week and try to just pray over this. But wind is unseen. Wind is unseen. Wind does not have color. Wind doesn't have a smell. It's just wind, and we don't see it. We feel its effects. We feel it blowing. We know when the wind is up. Sometimes we can tell if the wind is out of the north because it is particularly cooler than wind that's coming from the south. If it's coming from the north, generally it's not going to have rain in it. If it's coming from the south, coming from the coastal region, then it's probably carrying perhaps even this precipitation that we are seeing the last 12 or 15 hours in our area. But we cannot see the wind. We can see its effects on things. We can see the trees that are blowing. We can see the piece of trash that is skipping across the lawn. We can see the wind's effects, but we cannot see the wind. And guess what? You cannot see the Holy Spirit. I realize we like a God. We like a spiritual experience that we can put into a box, that we can say, you know what, this makes complete sense. But when we can't see it and we don't know from which direction it's going to come or how it is going to blow, then it makes us a little bit nervous, and we're not quite sure because we can't see it. John 20 and 29, again, Jesus is speaking. He's talking to doubting Thomas, and he says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I know believing is really easy when we can, you know, it's 2 + 2 = 4, and it's just, you know, it just makes complete sense because it's orderly and it's organized and it's just, everything is in its right place. But he said, Thomas, I know, and it's great, everyone that believes like that, but listen, there is another blessing for those who have not seen and yet they have believed. They've allowed their faith to stretch. They've allowed their faith to become. They've allowed their faith to soar to a place that they can just trust that this experience with me is exactly what they need in their life. Let me tell you secondly today that wind is unpredictable. Wind is unseen and wind is unpredictable. You know, they land airplanes into the wind, but the wind changes daily. Sometimes the wind is changing hourly. So if you fly into a particular city a lot, you know from which direction the wind is blowing because they're going to send you into this side of town so that you can reach that particular runway because we're going to land into the wind. But wind is unpredictable. And guess what? I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. God is unpredictable also. God, you don't know exactly. I know I hear you quoting scripture. I am the Lord and I change not. But guess what? His ways of moving and his ways of operating absolutely change. He mixes it up on us all the time because we don't need a God that is so predictable that I know, well, it's going to be on the third song today and probably about 2 minutes into that song, that's when somebody's going to get happier in the Holy Ghost. No, I need a God that starts moving out in the parking lot. I need a Lord that starts touching me before I ever get to church. I need a Lord. I need a Savior that works all throughout the week. A God who is unpredictable. That's the reason some people get so bored in their church experience, because it is so predictable. It's been the same for dozens of years, and nothing ever changes, and nothing ever happens, and there is nothing fresh at work in our lives. And I get it. I understand there is great comfort in predictability. I know there is great comfort in just a routine and just kind of knowing how things are going to happen. But real trust comes when we say, you know what, Lord, I don't know how you're going to answer this crisis in my life. And I don't know how you're going to work out this dilemma that I'm facing. And I don't know where the provision is going to come from, because you are a God who is unpredictable. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wake up every day and I'm going to look for you, because I don't know how you're going to move today, and I don't know how you're going to work today. I'm going to wake up first thing in the morning looking for you, trying to find you all day long until I experience you in a fresh way. Jesus said in John 3 in verse 8, he said the wind. This is the only time in the New Testament that he used that same word, the wind, or the pneuma, blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Seems unpredictable. Seems kind of, you know, this is not quite what I thought. I would imagine there are stories and testimonies all over this room about what you have experienced, or what you saw as a kid, or old sister so-and-so at the church you were raised in, when she would get happy in the Spirit, how she would respond, or some particular worship or sound that she would make. We have all of these things, but you know what? I've got to get to a place that I say, Lord, what is it that you want from me? How is it that you want to move in my life? Because I'm not going to allow something I saw as a child. I'm not going to allow something that I even heard over this pulpit. I'm not going to allow something that was said to me that this is not right or real or good or a blessing in my life. I'm not going to allow that to keep me from experiencing the goodness of God in my life. I want his wind to blow in my life. Amen. Let me tell you something else about wind. Wind is powerful. It's powerful. It's unseen. It's unpredictable. But wind is powerful. They use wind to generate electricity today. Wind can sail a ship. Wind can destroy a city. That's how powerful wind is. I never will forget, I was preaching in the coastal area of Mississippi when Hurricane Katrina was coming on to shore. It began some of those outer bands and some of that early on a Sunday evening into Monday when Katrina hit. I was in revival Sunday morning, and God bless the pastor, said we all needed to come back and pray on Sunday night. And I said, I really don't think we need to be here at all. He said, oh no, we need to pray. And so he called service at 6 o'clock, and there was, you know, literally two or three of us there. We were fulfilling the scripture. Everyone else had evacuated and left, and there we were. The prayer was very short. Lord, please keep us safe. And we're getting out of Dodge. And so we took off evacuating, but they wouldn't allow me to get west. They would not allow me to go back toward home. So I had to travel into Florida. I was making my way to Destin, where my sister and brother-in-law happened to be vacationing, and was on my way. And then I was stranded there for a week or so before I could get on to I-10, I-12, and begin making my way west. But I never will forget when I was traveling finally after several days and seeing the devastation. The interstate was a mess. There were cars flipped upside down. There was debris everywhere. There was only one lane that was open. It was very laborious travel. But I remember as I was coming into Slidell, one of the suburbs of the greater New Orleans area, I remember looking up and seeing one of these giant steel billboard holders. And there's a couple of braces in those. There's a couple of almost like a puzzle piece where they stack those and then bolt them in with giant bolts to hold those steel billboards way up into the air. I never will forget seeing those things just twisted like you would twist a Coke can and just be twisted hard enough that the aluminum would rip. These are steel tall beams and posts and billboard signs that were just twisted as though they were nothing. It was the wind. Wind is powerful. Wind can destroy a thing. But can I tell you that sometimes you need a wind that is strong enough to destroy the strongholds in your life? Sometimes you need a wind that is powerful enough to really come in and uproot some things that have been growing for a long time. Sometimes when the enemy has come in and has driven roots deep into your life, roots of wrong thinking, roots of incorrect and improper habits, sometimes you need a wind that is strong enough to come in and blow and uproot those things in your life. I don't know about you, church at Covington, but I'm not interested in serving a God that does not have power to heal and to work and to move and to do what it is I need him to do in my life. Saying, Pastor Darrell, can't we just have a church, you know, that, you know, we just all come and it's just great to see one another. Listen, it's not either or. We can have a church that is great and we're all happy to see one another. And at some point in our Sunday morning experience, God, he is powerful to do the things that you need him to do in your life and that I need him to do in my life. And it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be anything that's going to run anybody out of the building. But God, this God that we worship, this God that we praise, this God that we love, this God that we serve is a powerful God. If anybody believes it today, would you just give him a praise that he's worthy of? He's powerful. If there's anyone in this room that's ever been healed, then you know he's powerful. If there's anyone in this room that's ever been delivered, then you know he's powerful. If he's ever woken you up in the morning and said, hey, do this, do that, then you know he is powerful. I love a Lord who is powerful to work in my life. Said in Acts chapter 1, 5 through 8, John baptized with water. This is Jesus telling them, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They responded, the apostles were with Jesus. They kept asking him, Lord, is it time for you to come and free Israel and restore our kingdom? Jesus said, look, you're worrying about things you don't need to be worried about. You're trying to talk about things that you don't even need to focus on that. Listen to what I am saying. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They're not for you to know, but listen, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to receive power when this wind begins to blow in your life. And what will happen? You will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Because wind is powerful. I read the account of Charles Finney, who is regarded as one of the great revivalists of history. He literally led over 500,000 people to Christ. He was an amazing man. He was trained as a lawyer, and because of that, he was very intellectual And he struggled with the idea of the Holy Spirit. This is his own testimony. He was so heady. Everything had to make perfect sense about God and experiencing God and his spiritual expression. All of it had to be neat and tidy and make complete sense. And everything just looked exactly perfect. But he knew if there was something available to him, then he probably needed to be open to receiving it. And so he prayed, and his testimony goes like this. But as I turned and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love, for I could not express it any other way. Lotus, he said, it seemed like the very breath of God. Written many, many years ago, he said, it seemed like, you know why it seemed like the breath of God? Because it was the very breath of God. You could almost envision your life as someone who has stopped breathing. I'm in that rut. I'm stuck in that doldrum place. And somebody would come along and give CPR. They would give you their breath. You probably, people in this room that are trained in CPR, and you give someone else your breath. Know that, see that, understand that when God comes in my life in the power of the Holy Spirit, he is giving me his breath. And where I've not been able to catch my breath, when I have not been able to get passionate or excited or knowing and believing that life can be what Jesus said it could be, here he comes to give me his spirit, and all of a sudden I come back to life and I'm breathing again. I was early in my ministry. It was literally one of the first revivals I ever preached as a full-time evangelist. I was in Somerville, South Carolina. It's not that far from right here, but we were in our second or third week of revival services going Tuesday through Sunday. I was about 2 weeks in. I'd preached everything I knew, and I'd made up some other stuff that I didn't know. And we were desperate. But it was a Friday night revival service. There was about 50 people in the room, and there was a lady in that service. She was in her 60s. She wasn't old per se, and she seemed to have her health and her wits about her. But whatever happened that night, massive heart attack, stroke, something that was very debilitating, this woman fell down in the middle of the worship service, and she was completely dead. There was a nurse in the service. There were two paramedics that were off duty that were in the service. They were doing their work. They were checking pulse. They were trying to prepare CPR. They had called 911, but this is many years ago, and I'm sure the ambulance drivers were using key maps, and this building was kind of hidden behind some other houses. It was kind of a strange situation. I just know that 20 minutes later, paramedics that had equipment and heart fib machines and things like that, and a stretcher, and ultimately a hospital, they had not arrived yet. This woman had been dead for 20 minutes, and all I could think was, my ministry is over. I killed a woman just trying to have revival, and a lady has fallen dead. I'm not going anywhere after this revival is over. I don't know what it was. Something came over me, a boldness, a faith, a wind that said, you know what, I know the paramedics are coming through the door right now, but it's been 20 minutes. Can I just pray for this woman? They said, man, she's dead. I'm sorry. This is really sad, but you can do whatever you want to do. I knew I didn't have long, just reached and laid my hand on her head, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you cannot die in this revival service. You can die at home. You can die at the hospital later on, but you cannot die in this revival service. I'm praying just like that because I am desperate. And God, as my witness, if I'm lying, I'm dying just like her. All of a sudden, after 20 minutes of no pulse, after 20 minutes of no breathing, after 20 minutes of no heart beating, all of a sudden this woman opened up her eyes, took a big gasp of breath, sat up and said, "Is church over?" "No, ma'am, it's not. In fact, it's just getting started." You know why? Because God is powerful. He's powerful. And here's the good news. You're not even dead. If he can do that for her, what can he do for you? He's powerful. He's powerful. I want a church that's powerful. I don't really want people to die. If you're going to die, die at home. But I want a God that's powerful. I want a God that moves. I want a God that I can feel and that I can experience. Romans 8 and 11 says, the Spirit of God, the pneuma of God, the breath of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Which Spirit? It's the same Spirit. He said, that's what I want to be in you. That's what I want you to experience. That's what I want you to have at work in your life. But Pastor Darrell, I'm one of those who is skeptical. I'm just not quite sure. I don't know. I don't know. What do I do? I'm gonna give you three things. Write it down. You gotta let go of fears and misperceptions. Gotta let go of fears and misperceptions. Yes, the Holy Spirit has been mishandled. Yeah, it's happened. Someone somewhere has abused it. Someone somewhere has made it a weird thing. But listen, it is still real. It is still good. It is still right. There is nothing in your Bible that says the days of his Spirit are over or the days of his Spirit are past. In fact, he said, even your children and their children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, this is for you. That means I can walk in this power. You can experience this power. You can feel him and know him. But in order for it to happen, I have to let go of fears and misperceptions. Psalm 34 and 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. You know what I need to do? I need to seek the Lord. I don't need to seek man's opinion. I need to seek the Lord. Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want from me? What do you want me to experience? What do you want to have happen in my life? I'm seeking the Lord, and he will answer you and will deliver you from all of your fears. Number two, if you're going to experience him in this way, you got to go all in. Got to go all in. We need a church that'll go all in. I feel like I need to qualify everything because I'm new and you're still trying to feel me out and understand. I'm not talking about creating some church where it's just a circus from one side to the other. I don't like that. That's not, I'm talking about decent and in order. I'm not talking about a bunch of foolishness or weirdness. I'm talking about a genuine move of the Holy Spirit where people come to church one way and they leave another way. They come in addicted and somewhere in an altar somewhere in their seat, they drop addiction and say, you know what? I'm not living like that any longer. What happened? They went all in and they allowed the Holy Spirit to fill them and move move upon them, and now their life has been radically reborn and changed. That's the kind of God that we're hungry for. That's the kind of Savior that we're looking for at the church at Covington, where people's lives can be changed, their marriages can be put back together again, and they can live a victorious life. But in order for me to experience it, I have to go all in. Got to go all in, because unfortunately there is no halfway with the Holy Spirit. I can't just put my toe in. Let me just see. Let me just see what it's like. No, I got to go all in. I've got to experience Him fully. I've got to allow Him to work in my life. Many of us pray prayers that sound like this: Lord, I want whatever you have for me, as long as you behave yourself. I want you to do whatever you desire to do in my life, as long as you approve it with me first. Just let me know what it is that you want to do, and then I'll decide whether or not that is what I want. No, no, my prayer should be, Lord, whatever you have for me, that's what I want in my life. Let me tell you something about the Lord that you're hearing about today. He's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. He's not going to force His way into your life. Oh, I'm afraid if I get the Spirit of the Lord, you know, I'm going to start rolling like them. No, 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 no. Lord, I want what you have for me. We used to sing a song that was really a prayer. I surrender all. I surrender all. I pray that today, not as just a song that sounds nice, but a prayer. God, I surrender everything to you. Jeremiah 29 and 13, he said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when there is a stipulation attached. There is something important that he's saying. It'll happen when you seek me with all of your heart and go all in. Number three, develop an intimate friendship with Him. What does that even mean? You mean I can be friends with the Lord? I can experience Him and can talk to Him and have fellowship with Him? Yes, yes, yes. Over and over you can. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be awkward. Sometimes we think praying that we have to pray in King James. Lord, thou knowest what is wrongest in my lifest. Lord, my wifest is craziest. Don't make fun of my prayer. I'm praying right now. Doesn't have to be like that. Lord, it's Monday. I need you this week. Got to have your help in my life. Protect me, guard me, keep me. Cover my kids, my family. Protect my eyes, my ears. I want to have a friendship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. In the Message, it says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Be with all of you. Be with all of you. You know, hey, Siri. You have one of these phones that have a computer. She's talking to me. Hey, Siri. Hey, Siri.
Backflip.
Yeah. She's not used to coming to church. She's saying, yeah. Siri, do you love me? Siri, do you love me? I don't have a friend. Sometimes she'll tell me she loves me. Siri, I love you. I said that to her one time. She said, I bet you say that to all your Apple products. It's just an object.
Amen.
It's just a computer. It's nothing. But I'm telling you, when you tell the Lord that you want relationship with Him, it's not just words. Something is born, something comes alive, something happens in your life. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That voice, that wind, that breath in my sail, pushing me just a little further. Talking about the wind, the Spirit of the Lord. It's alive in this room right now. May be completely new to you. May be completely foreign to you. You may be saying, this is my first time here, and I don't know. Never heard what you're talking about right now. Just close your eyes for a moment and just feel the presence of the Lord. Because whether or not you agree with what I'm saying, whether or not what I'm saying argues with your tradition or what you've always been taught or what has been said, the one thing you're likely not to argue with is what you feel. And the presence of God feels good. So real. Ephesians 4 and 30, close with this. It says, don't grieve God. Don't break His heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for Himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. He said, His Holy Spirit is moving and breathing in you. It's the most intimate part of your life, and this is what He's doing. He's making you fit for Himself. That's why you hear His voice saying, hey, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. What are you doing? I'm just trying to prepare you to be in my presence and ultimately to be with me in heaven. I want my spirit to be alive in you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I feel the Lord in this room. Such a strong way. Father, I pray today for people in this house. People maybe who have never experienced the wind as we have described it today. The wind that is powerful. The wind that is able to change course and change the direction of an airplane, of a ship, of a life. Who needs its course altered. I pray today that every heart, every mind, every thinking human being in this room would position themselves in a place that says, Lord, I don't want to fight anything that you have for me. I want to receive your gift in my life. I want everything you have for me. I want you to do all that you are able to do in my life. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's people in this room that would say, you know what, I want to be filled with his Spirit. If you're here and that's your heart, if that's your prayer, just slip your hand up. I want to be filled with his Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Good Lord. Lots of hands across this room. I want to be filled with his Spirit. It's not because my spouse or my mom or I feel God drawing me closer to him. Receive all that he has for me. Everything, everything. You know what? We're baptizing people today. I'm excited about the couple few people that have said, we want to be baptized. You may be in this room today and you would say, Pastor Darrell, I want to be baptized. I want to take this important step today.